6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon here on the Power Hour, Friday, July 1st, 2022. Yes, the magic holiday, July 4th, coming up on Monday. We won't be here. Not on this. We'll be doing a repeat. Maybe we'll do this repeat because people really need to wake up about what we're going to talk about here in this half-hour segment. This is pretty scary stuff when you look at the multitude of ways that our lives could be affected in the event all of a sudden we have no electricity. Andrew Butchen with the EMP Shield is on the horn with us here on the Power Hour. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, thanks so much for having me back on.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a never-ending story. Wired just came out with an article, Here Comes the Sun, to End Civilization. And I'm just like, okay. This article was put out June 21st. Talks about every so often our star fires off a plasma bomb in a random direction, our best hope the next time the Earth is in the crosshairs, capacitors. I take it you read that article, right?
I did, sir. It was a very powerful article. We're always happy to see, especially from an organization like Wired, put out this kind of content. It's been part of our, one of our objectives is to help educate people on just, how our lives can so easily be impacted by things like the sun or an EMP. And so it's really good to see that people are kind of waking up to understand that the impacts of the sun, I mean, it can destroy our electrical systems. It can destroy things with transistors, resistors, diodes, silicon arsenide, microprocessors. And basically, and this is not to scare people, but put us back to the Stone Age, and this is not theory. This is something that, not to scare you, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when that it will occur. It's a great piece.
It is. And see, the thing is, we've talked about various ways, and I just had Alex Newman on the show, as a matter of fact, and I asked him that very question. He's a writer for The New American. And I said, look, I've had Don Hall on the program. He's a senator from Texas. He has said the same thing. Not a matter of if, a matter of when. I asked Alex, I said, so you got China, Russia, they got hypersonic missiles. There is every possibility, because they've already recognized mutual assured destruction is not going to work because they won't be around either. So, hey, what a great idea to launch one of these puppies and detonate something 275 miles in the atmosphere right over where you are in Kansas, where EMP Shield is made, and put us in the dark ages. I'm just like, okay, yeah, he said it's a possibility. He says it is going to happen. He says they've woken up to the fact they think it's going to happen. What's your take on that now?
I think that's absolutely correct. I mean, we hope it's not going to happen. And it is using EMP weapons, we believe to still be, medium to low probability. But here's the reality is this isn't science fiction, which is what when people hear EMP, they're like, oh, it's never going to happen. This isn't science fiction. These are some of the most devastating weapons of mass destruction that exist on our planet. And the thing is, it's actually considered a bloodless weapon. And the reason it is because it doesn't initially kill anybody. It doesn't mean it's not going to, though, because the Department of Homeland Security projects that roughly 90% of the population will be dead within 1 year after an EMP. And so it's almost like it's a weapon that our adversaries are more willing to use because it doesn't initially create death, but it creates mass death over a period of time. And, it's a big deal, and it's something that people need to understand and kind of wake up to is the threat is real because China, Russia, at least China and Russia have publicly threatened the United States with super EMP weapons just within the last 6 months, and this is publicly. So it is a real threat, and then luckily there is a solution. So
the solution would be having an EMP shield on virtually every device in America in order to, the thing is that protecting an actual transformer or a substation, I mean, there's like what, nine substations in America? If you took them out, you'd affect 60 to 80% of the grid. I mean, that's what we know for sure. Yeah. I mean, this is our most vulnerable spot. This is our Achilles heel.
It really is. And that's, It's not even like it's a secret. EMP Shield's mission in life is to get this protection to as many people as possible. On the grid side, we are working with some organizations and agencies, which I think we'll discuss here in a little bit, to help harden the grid. But until the grid is hardened, which is not going to happen anytime soon, the steps that people need to take is to get EMP Shield onto their homes, onto their backup power systems, and most importantly, in my mind, is onto your vehicle, because your vehicle is a life-saving tool.
Yeah, we know that because, and I've told people this, Andrew, same thing you're probably going to agree with me on. You need that vehicle. If EMP hits while you're on the road, you need that vehicle to get home to your safe spot.
You absolutely do. In fact, we just put out a pretty powerful commercial. It's a 30-second, 45-second commercial just showing what would occur. But the reality is if you're with your family, you're 150 miles from home. You know, our commercial was filmed in Kansas where it's 105 degrees sometimes. And now you're on foot in a post-apocalyptic style of world with no energy, and it's kind of a free-for-all, having to make your way back home. I couldn't imagine, my significant other by herself having to get home 100 miles on foot. And so that's kind of why we say it literally is a matter of life and death. It's important. It's the same thing with your home as well. A lot of folks out there, especially after what happened in Texas with the ice storms, have purchased these home backup generators. Well, the argument we get is, well, the grid's going to be down, and that's absolutely correct. The grid will be down after an EMP or coronal mass ejection, which is from the sun, like we discussed earlier. But regardless of if the grid's down, if you have a backup power system and your home's electrical system was protected, including it would protect all the devices in your home, you still have power, which, once again, is a life-saving tool.
But you got to have the EMP shield on the generator, on the transfer switch, and on the battery. I mean, the battery is the generator. Anything connected to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's correct. So you need to protect your. So, as an example, if you have a generator, you're going to want to protect the generator, and you're also going to want to protect the home. And there might be certain, sometimes that would require two. In some scenarios, it might require three devices, but it's still incredibly affordable. We're not talking about tens of thousands of dollars. We're talking about less than $1,000 to completely protect your entire home's electrical system. And then sometimes you can do it for $389. It just depends on what you're trying to protect. Another big thing that is a huge market for us, and a lot of people have, is the solar system. So whether it's grid-tied, a combination, or off-grid, we are 99% of the time able to protect the solar systems as well, which is a phenomenal backup power source. And I recommend for folks who are looking into it to really deeply look into getting solar, because the sun's producing energy for you. They are a little expensive, but we can protect them. So if you have a solar system and your home's protected and the solar system's protected, you could virtually have power for as long as the sun continues to do what the sun does. So it's a very good solution for folks.
Well, and this is the thing. You can get a discount by saying TPH, if you go to empshield.com and using the code TPH for the power hour, you're going to save $50 by using that code. And so you're going to save even more money, and you're going to be protecting your own home. This is something that's important. I have an EMP shield on both of my vehicles, and I have two EMP shields on my home. I have one on my main panel in the house, and I got one on the power pole, which there is a separate panel out there. But that's only about 70 feet away. It still protects, 250-foot radius, right?
250 linear feet in both directions. And that's kind of like the secret sauce of the way it works, is it's really it's not rocket surgery. What we did is we took the military standards for EMP protection, which were created, at least 10 or 15 years ago. So they've been around for a while, and we just basically did that, and we recreated it at about 100 times faster than the requirements are stated in them, in the regs. So it is an incredibly fast surge protector that does something unique. It's looking inside your home, not just outside your home. So as an example, a regular surge protector is designed to stop the excess energy from coming from the grid into your home. The EMP shield does that, but also is monitoring the inside levels of energy inside your home as well, so that when we see that rise in voltage from the direct induction of these electrons, because, in the coronal mass ejection and an EMP, the power is not just coming from the grid. The power is going directly into your home's Romex wiring, directly into your computer that's plugged into the wall. It's going directly into everything. So we have the ability to actually monitor and pull from the inside of the house to the ground. So it's a very, very unique, very amazing technology that is able to do these things at incredibly high rates of speed. We begin pulling in the sub-nanoseconds. and are pulling, you know, incredible amounts of energy from electrical systems. So it's a great technology.
And we appreciate, of course, all of you calling in with questions if you have them, 844-769-2944. Andrew, we just had a caller that was, you know, didn't want to interrupt the conversation, and they just wanted to know if you need to put one on a generator that is not connected to the house but is sitting in your garage ready to go.
Oh, great question. I love that question. So here's what it comes down to, and there is a myth out there that really irks me, and it's a lot of people think that a pool start generator needs to be protected. That's actually not the case. So if you have we say 10,000 kilowatt, 10,000 kW or below, normally you won't even need protection because it's a mechanically driven generator that has a pool start. And that's not to say if it has an electric start, you probably want to protect that if you want to use the electric start. But most of those smaller generators will still function because the mechanically driven portion, there's nothing there that could get destroyed. Now, with that being said, if you have a generator that is larger than 10 kW that is not connected, we do recommend putting protection on it. So, yes, in whether it's connected to their home or not, it is still going to induce these freed electrons. So the best case is, you know, because we need to kind of collect a little bit of information to determine what protection to give you, is just give us a call. And most importantly, when you call us, we love your show. We grandfathered the Power Hour into this $50 off per product discount. You guys will have it forever. You're grandfathered in. And so if you let – one of the questions that they're going to ask when you call us is they're going to say, you know, how'd you hear about us? Make sure you say the Power Hour and say the coupon code TPH because it's going to save you a lot of money.
And we love that. And we appreciate everything that EMP Shield is doing for us. Folks, these are made in the USA, all right? They're not made in China. And not only that, they're military tested, and they're getting the attention of the United States government. And the reason I say it is because, Andrew, you guys were just involved with Joint Base San Antonio and just put out a 48-page report, which I just talked about. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Oh, I'd love to. So one of our government projects that we could publicly talk about, and we have been for a while, is with the DEMSO out of Joint Base San Antonio. And DEMSO stands for the Domestic Electromagnetic Spectrum Operations Group. And they're basically, what we're doing with them is we are working on a pilot program to protect a portion of the grid down in Texas. It's going to serve as the standard to eventually be used across the entire grid, you know, should it get passed, and then there's going to be funding requirements and stuff like that. But so it's this thing that we've been working on with the government down in Texas, and we're very proud. One of the things that we've been working on with the group is creating an EMP resiliency standards so that every government organization or even corporations or even the civilian population knows what kind of resiliency standards that is recommended. You know, it's kind of at a little bit of a higher level, but it could help even consumers if they read it. And we're very proud to not only have been a part of that, but also to be listed as the top contributor and author of the report. It was kind of a really neat thing to see, and we're very proud to be able to help, you know, provide the information that was needed to write that report. And it's great, and that project's still pumping along. Other government work, I mean, we have been listed specifically by the Department of Homeland Security in their 2019 EMP Resilience Report as having a military-certified and tested product. We also just finished a series of tests with an individual named William Radaski. We call him the godfather of EMP. It's him and Peter Private. William Radaski, who owns Meditech, just did a series of tests on the EMP Shield. And he's from the EMP Commission, you know, and he says that they work well and provide sufficient protection against EMP. So we're very proud of that as well. And we've got a whole lot of stuff going on. Unfortunately, I can't discuss everything we're doing, but there is a lot of very good things going on, and our goal is to get as much protection to as many people as possible. So,
and that's a good thing. Here's the other thing, too. A lot of us have these – they go to, like, Four Patriots – and they buy these 1,500 and 1,800 watt generators that are solar paneled, and they put them in Faraday bags. And have them inside bags, you know, that are sealed up. And as long as they're sealed up, they should be okay.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Yeah. So, and there's nothing wrong. So, before EMP Shield came along, the only way to protect from an EMP was a Faraday cage. which is basically an enclosure that does not allow any signal in or out, period. In more modern times, in 2022, we've kind of evolved to Faraday bags, which are normally a couple hundred dollars, $200, $300, $400, sometimes very pricey, but you can put equipment into. And there is scenarios where I do recommend a Faraday cage. So if you have Baofeng radios or any kind of electronics that don't stay connected to your home's electrical system, I highly recommend that people put them into a Faraday cage. With that being said, I don't normally recommend people go out and spend a lot of money on them, because we have a video that shows you how to do it for about $5. So they're not very expensive to make your own, but they are very effective. Now, the key, one of the other things about EMP shield, this is where we solve the problem, is with a Faraday cage, you can't use the equipment while it's inside of the cage. EMP shield solved that problem because we are protecting electrical systems while they're in operation. You know, so you no longer have to limit your use of your equipment or your electrical system. We're protecting it at all times when the device is connected.
Okay. Great answer there from Andrew. Daniel in New Jersey, you're on the phone with Andrew Butchin from EMP Shield. What say you?
A 1994 Plymouth Voyager, which has no digital computers, and I also have a 2021 Nissan Rogue with a couple of hundred digital computers. So how do I actually connect the EMP shield to the car?
Oh, great question, and thanks for the question, by the way. So we've designed the EMP shield to be very simple to install. As an example, we had a 90-year-old woman on the phone a couple months ago, and we walked her through installing it, and she was able to do it in 15 minutes. But the way it installs is simple. All you need is a wrench, and there's three wires to the EMP shield. Yep. So the positive wire of the EMP shield goes to the positive terminal of the battery. The negative wire of the EMP shield goes to the negative terminal. So you're just going to screw it on. There's a lug nut on there that you loosen up, and you can slide it on and tighten it. The third wire is going to go to the chassis of the vehicle. So there's normally points with some nuts that you can loosen up, and every vehicle has them. You're going to find a spot, and you're going to connect it to the chassis of the vehicle, and that's it. It's a wrench in about 10 minutes.
So I don't have to disconnect the battery cables?
No, I didn't when I put mine on, Daniel.
Yep.
Okay, because mine on the Nissan Rogue, I've got eight wires coming in through fusible links to the battery connector, and a dealer told me that if I disconnect those, it's going to void the warranty. Of course, if an EMP wipes out the car, there's no warranty anyway. So I don't have to disconnect any of that. All the connection of your device is independent of what's already hooked up to the battery. Is that right?
Yes, North. That's correct. Normally, you wouldn't have to. What I would recommend, though, is when you have some time, give us a call, and we'll walk you through what you need to do to make sure that to make sure the battery remains connected. And there's a lot of different types of batteries out there, so maybe you've got one of the weird ones. Sometimes there's side post batteries that are a little bit more difficult. Just give
us a
call.
What's the phone number? What's the phone number? I don't have home internet.
Oh, it's okay. The phone number is 620-412-9978.
I'm missing a digit. 620-412-9978. 78, got it. All right, thanks for your patience. I'll keep listening. I'll give you guys a call on Tuesday. We'll see what we can do. Bye now.
All right, thank you, Daniel, in New Jersey. Appreciate that. And see, what I did with the instructions, basically, you hook up the positive wire to the positive side of the battery first. That's the red wire. Mm-hmm. Then you have a green wire, which goes to ground, and you hook that to the chassis. You can find a screw somewhere that's tying down a part to the frame, and you actually undo that screw, slip the circular pin through, and then screw it back down. And then you hook up the negative, and the light will come on. That's how you know the unit is working. I did it to both my wife's Mini Cooper and my van, so we are protected completely. And so if anything goes on, it's all connected to the battery. Anything connected to the battery works. Now, there is also a unit which I'm holding in my hat little hand as we speak, and it's called the EMP Shield Antenna Protection Device, and it's got an in and an out with a ground on the bottom that you actually connect with a 12-gauge wire to the ground of the car. Now, police departments can use these if you have a radio or a CB radio in your car. They have coaxial connectors on the sides, in and out, that you put between the antenna and the radio itself, and then you hook the rest of it to the ground, so it actually preserves the radio. Am I getting that right?
That's correct. In fact, we just we actually made U.S. history a couple weeks ago. We outfitted the first county in the United States. We outfitted their entire critical infrastructure system. First time in U.S. history, it's the first county to attempt to follow Executive Order 18265, I think is the number. It's an executive order stating that EMP protection, should be installed. So we're very proud. And the reason I mention that is, one, because we're proud of it, but two, they're the police and the emergency services all got those antenna units on their vehicles as well to protect their systems. We have a lot of ham radio operators that use them. Air Force Mars, DHS shares also use them. So the radio units are also very popular on both the consumer and the government side as well.
Well, this is wonderful because I know these things work. I see them. They're lit up. A lot of my electricians that are putting them in call them surge protectors. No, folks. These are way better than surge protectors.
Yeah.
These shunt everything to ground. They connect like a surge protector, but they shunt to ground in a billionth of a second. So, they're literally going to protect anything connected to your home's system, anything connected to that panel, anything plugged into an outlet. They're absolutely wonderful and a must-have if you are going to be protected from anything like this, whether it be a coronal mass ejection like the 1859 Carrington event. Folks, we've studied this stuff religiously, and Andrew, you have this library on EMPShield.com. Describe what's in it.
Yes, sir. So what we've done is we basically created a conglomerate of every document, to the best of our ability, every document that's been written about EMP. And one of our major goals, and it's kind of in conjunction with the Department of Homeland Security, is to educate as many people as possible on EMP, and that's what the library is for.
Wonderful. Andrew Butchin, thank you so much. EMPShield.com. Use the code TPH at checkout. Get that unit ordered now and save $50 on your order. We appreciate you, sir. Thank you. God bless everything you and your guys are doing out there to protect America. We're going to be back after the bottom of the hour break with Benjamin Sledge, a rock veteran. Stay with us.
Products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregarest and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Yes, friends, and you are my friends. Minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Friday, July 1st, 2022. We're not going to be on the air July 4th. We're going to be doing a repeat, maybe, of this program. And, of course, if you just dial into thepowerhour.com or ask your friends, say, hey, I heard this great interview about EMP Shield, and you need to listen to it, and you can just, all you have to do, because we never change the program that is running today is going to stay on the air all weekend, and it will be refreshed on Tuesday when we get back on the air and we do a new program. They will upload that, and it replaces the current program. So the program that we're doing today is going to be re-aired over the weekend and on Monday. So you got all this time to share this information with your friends and people just by going to thepowerhour.com. You can listen about EMP protection. I'll tell you, it's one of the most interesting things is taking the time to read through the library on EMPShield.com. You know what the best part of it is? It's free. It's free. And you still, when you get on that library, you download everything and you read all of it. And I mean, take your time going through the material, because I mean, military tests, everything is on there, and all the scenarios are on there. And if you read all of the 30 some odd articles, maybe they're probably more by now. I haven't been there in a while, but I downloaded like 30 some odd articles the first time I did it in PDF and just spent the time reading this stuff and getting an education. This is how I'm able to talk about this and communicate with people. And it's not like I'm, you know, like I'm out there. It's like, Dave, you're doing this Art Bell thing again. You're going crazy on the radio and doing all the superstitious. No, it's not like that. We've already analyzed, and the government has already analyzed. They had a 2018 EMP commission on tap for the government answering to President Trump. He initiated executive orders to EMP. So it's one of those things that if you study this stuff long enough, you become an authority on it. And it's not some sort of conspiracy theory. It is entirely possible that electromagnetic pulse could occur. The weaponry is there. We have tested it. I got two words for you. Starfish Prime. That is a military test that literally knocked out. I mean, it knocked the crap out of Honolulu, knocked out a lot of their grid, and caused all sorts of disruption on alarm systems and everything. I mean, it was detonated way out in the Johnston Atoll, 750 miles away in Hawaii. They got hit. So understand that this stuff, we're serious about what we're saying here on the show. We're all about solutions. Now, as far as a military perspective, even in the face of all this garbage going on right now, you know, we've been through all these wars. We've been through weapons of mass distraction. And we have with us on the phone an Iraq war veteran looking back on the price of war. He's got a new book out. It's called Where Cowards Go to Die. He is a recipient of a Bronze Star and Purple Heart. Benjamin Sledge, welcome to the Power Hour, sir. Thank you for your service.
Thanks. I appreciate your support. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, and you know, here's the thing, you know, writing about the war, you know, people sometimes don't understand. I served during Nam. You obviously, because of the fact you're an Iraq war veteran, you know, you've seen the reality of it. You've been there. You've been in the field. You've seen the sacrifice. You've seen people come home in body bags and coffins. I mean, it's not a pleasant thing, especially when you have to go back into civilian life if you manage to make it home. Could you elaborate a little bit on that? I mean, we know freedom isn't free. We know you guys, many of you had to sacrifice your lives for this. What, first off, inspired you to write the book?
You know, honestly, I think what inspired me to write the book is just the fact that there's a huge disconnect between what we've seen come out as far as the stories about Iraq and Afghanistan, and I also fought in Afghanistan in addition to Iraq. And we have the longest running wars in the history of the United States with no kind of real clear objective as far as like what we were there to accomplish. And the civilian soldier divide got even bigger and bigger and bigger to where war just kind of became background noise. And as opposed to it becoming extremely unpopular like you dealt with in Vietnam, we had to deal with it just kind of the populace largely checked out with no draft and a lot of people, less than 1% of us fought in the longest running wars in the history of the United States. So for me, I wanted to tell a story that was actually true to the heart of your average veteran that fought overseas and the moral quagmires, the complexity, the humanity, and the barbarity of combat that we dealt with over the past 20 years. And then also at the same time, just really kind of ratcheted up for the civilian populace to understand what it is that we went through while they got to enjoy Starbucks.
Well, yeah, not only that, but I mean, when we came home from Vietnam, Vietnam veterans came home, they were met with baby killer and all sorts of other stuff, you know, and harassment and whatnot. I mean, it's bad enough that the average age of the combat soldier was 19. And Paul Hardcastle wrote a song about it, and I get choked up every time I play it. But that was one of those songs that literally, you remember they had Frank Reynolds from ABC News on there. I'm sure you're familiar with the song. Most war veterans are. But here's the thing, what most people don't understand, you get back here, and how many of your guys would you say that you've served with come back with PTSD?
It's a large percentage. I think some of them deal with transition disorders, but I think more interestingly enough, we're dealing with a new term called moral injury, which is where it's the psychological damage that you incur when you do things that violate your sense of right and wrong. And so we were in kind of those situations, just like you guys were in Vietnam, to where you had kids carrying explosives. You're having to do things that violate that sense of right and wrong. And so we come home and we struggle with who we had to become in a wartime scenario and the decisions that we had to make. And then you enter this environment where everybody, and while you're in the military, was willing to die for you. And then you come home to a company that where everybody's trying to trample each other on their way to the top, and it becomes very difficult to adjust. And so the modern veteran really, really struggles because they want that camaraderie. They want that sense of purpose. And they also want people to understand the struggles that they went through, and yet they feel that they can't talk about it. So I think it's a large percentage.
Yeah, that's really sad, too, that they don't want to talk about it because it's pretty painful. I mean, some of these things, especially if you have to shoot a kid over there because that you suspect that they're carrying explosives and you don't want to take that chance to get close enough to you. And all of a sudden, you know, they let their finger off a trigger. And next thing you know, you're sitting there staring at an IED. It's about to go off in your face. I mean, it's bad enough. A lot of people lost arms and legs. We see commercials on TV all the time about this. And, I mean, it's enough that, you know, you have some guy in a wheelchair who's never going to be able to walk again the rest of his life, or he's getting fitted for prosthetics, or they have to build homes that have special apparatus in them so he can exist. And then, of course, then when you get in the job market, that's a whole nother aspect. I don't even know that you even touched base on that in your book, did you?
I did. I did talk about it because there's just such this, and I'm sure you know, this intense like brotherhood and sisterhood that you experience when you're next to the guys that would gladly give up their life for you. And then when you go into the job market and you see that that's not the case and that nobody really cared per se about your service. They're thankful for it, and that's largely due to Vietnam veterans who, unfortunately, as you said, were called baby killers. They were spit on, and the American populace realized, you know, we did our veterans from Vietnam a huge disservice. But it becomes that modern day struggle where you go, I used to have a sense of purpose, a mission, a direction, people that cared for me, and then you come home and it's totally ambiguous, and then those struggles begin. Yeah.
So did your guys that you served with over there, many of them probably went through the Iraq War when right after 9/11. Then you get over there and they're all looking for Hussein and they're looking for weapons of mass destruction. They didn't find any. Was there any kind of sense that, hey, maybe we've been lied to? Did any of that ever cross your mind?
Yeah, there's literally a part in my book, you know, Where Cowards Go to Die, where one of my teammates just looks at me and says, what the hell are we doing here, man? And I didn't have an answer for him. And it was really interesting. I was working with a sniper at the time with the 1st Infantry Division, and just an impressive kill count. We're in Ramadi during the surge, which is the most violent city on earth at that point. It's where Chris Kyle earned his nickname, the Devil. It's where Jocko Willink and those guys were, Task Force Bruiser during that time period. And, you know, he was a scratch golfer back home. And so we're pulling security one day, and I ask him, you know, the question everybody asks while you're over there, hey, what are you going to do when you get home? And he's like, I'm going to play more golf. And I'm like, really? That's like your solution to everything that we're going through. And he said something that was totally unexpected. He said, you know, I played against a few congressmen and senators on the golf course. And he said, you know, they thanked me for my service. And he said, the difference between me and them is they send me to war, and I pulled the trigger for them. And he said, I'm just doing this until I can make enough money to get out of this godforsaken place. And that really kind of rattled me.
Wow. And it rattled you. Why? What were you expecting to hear from him?
I was expecting to hear, you know, we're bringing freedom, we're bringing democracy, looking for weapons of mass destruction, and instead, you know, I suddenly was like, man, maybe people are profiteering off of what we're doing over here, and what's our objective? Like, originally, you know, it was the WMDs, and then it was like, okay, well, we got to stabilize this place because of a violent insurgency, and a lot of that came just because, you know, Al-Qaeda worked like a hydra. You chop off one head, and then you have ISIS and ISIL, and then Al-Qaeda and the Maghreb, and it just kind of continues to compound, and it becomes this place where we're fighting terrorism, but also at the same time, we have completely destabilized an entire country's, you know, means of livelihood, where your water, power, and sewage are cut off, and the Iraqis get angry about that. We would be angry if another country came in and shut off all of our livelihood. So out of that, it was just like, well, what are we trying to accomplish here? And if we're not trying to help people, then what am I doing? And I wanted to help the Iraqi people, and I wanted to see the best possible thing. But when we left in 2015, ISIS took over Ramadi, and I was heartbroken about that.
Well, but you had, in essence, contributed to what eventually was a political vacuum. That had to have impacted you somehow.
Sure, and it was, and I think we saw it both in Iraq and Afghanistan, where it was just that absolute political vacuum. And so you come home and you question, and I think that's the tough part. I feel that Vietnam veterans and Iraq and Afghan veterans are very similar. We are very proud that we have served. We love our country. We love the people in it. We look fondly back on our military time. But when you don't have a clear objective, when, you know, it's not like a decisive victory like it was in World War II for my grandfather, you come home and you begin to wonder, what was it all for?
It was a police action. I mean, I'm just kind of I scratch my head every time I think about it, and some of the stuff that they pulled, the CIA's over there dealing drugs. You got Air America. I mean, all these things that people said, oh, well, that's a conspiracy theory. No, it was not. I mean, everything that happened with the cards, the playing cards in Iraq. I mean, this whole thing. And then here you have a transition in power in D.C., and all of a sudden you got the withdrawal from Bagram, and you got a withdrawal from all the air bases, and the 13 service people have to die that didn't have to. I mean, you communicate with some of the guys you served with. What do they think about all this and what Biden did, looking at his watch when the coffins came off the plane?
I mean, it's a multi-layered response in that. And I talk a little bit about this in my book, Where Cowards Go to Die, just about the withdrawal from Afghanistan. When it went down, you know, it became an international embarrassment. It was a total debacle. There's no doubt about that. Nobody's going to dispute that. And they just bungled it. Like, we could have literally just, yeah, they didn't need to die. But the thing that was difficult was a lot of us all called each other during that time period. And we're like, what the hell? And it really jacked with a lot of us, because we had lost friends. We had lost, most of our youth, spending so many years at war. And then we were also giving up on the interpreters and people that had risked their lives on our behalf. And we said, sorry, we're just not going to get you out. So it seemed like a giant betrayal to a lot of us, where we were just like, how did this happen? And then on top of that, I think a lot of us were just really angry at the Afghan people for not standing up to fight for their own country. That was very difficult in a lot of ways for us to comprehend. We're like, you could have done it. You could have kept the Taliban out of power. We ousted them. We gave you 18 years. Actually, we gave you 20 years. We gave you two more than we give our children in our own homes. And you couldn't stand up to fight. And it was really crushing in a lot of ways for us. And I'm sure, as you know, calls went up exponentially to the VA crisis line.
Yeah, see, a lot of people, I don't think they realized that. And the nature of it was basically people were really freaking out over this whole thing. I mean, PTSD, and then the fact that you guys go over there and they spend billions of dollars. And a lot of it, all of a sudden, come to find out, we have all these military advisors, U.S. military advisors, training these Afghanis, and they just turned around and, like, deserted as soon as we pulled the plug on Bagram. Mm-hmm. I'm beside myself. I mean, is there anything I'm missing here?
You know, I always try to find little bits of silver lining and some good as far as, like, what did we do in Afghanistan? And you know, I write about this because, you know, part of me is so angry. And I was like, well, where was the American populace when my friends were dying? Why did they care only about those 13 service members? Like, when my buddy died, nobody cared, because the war was just ongoing. And so it's kind of like, as soon as the news media started focusing on it, then it became important again. And I think that was really hard for a lot of us to digest. But then also the silver lining kind of within that is the fact that, you know, prior to the Taliban, women's education was zero for zero. And we built a girls' school over there that the Taliban blew up, and so we had to rebuild it. And you had women starting to get an education. You were getting power and electricity, and, you know, things were happening within the country. But ultimately, if your people don't stand up to fight for the progress that was made, then you're only going to regress. And that happened. And so while there were silver linings, you know, they're kind of right back to where they were with the Taliban, and that's hard.
No doubt. And see, this is something that I don't think that a lot of people, if you're not boots on the ground, you don't understand what these guys went through over their folks. It is, I see so many scenarios unfolding here. And then you've got the incident, and I'm going to bring this forward. Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller. I know you know that name.
Yeah.
What do you
Marine
think about
Corps
the way,
guy?
Yeah. What do you think about the way he was treated? He's trying to tell the truth.
And it's true. Yeah. I, you know, so part of me is like, it's like, all right, dude, I liked what he had to say. 'Cause I was like, the people have to be held responsible, but because of the fact that you have these generals that basically become politicians and, you know, become lip service at some point, they're not going to be held accountable for their actions. So I really did like what he had to say, but also at the same time, you know, having been a soldier myself, I know how, like, the chain of command works. And if you start going around it, you're going to get smacked. And, you know, part of me was like, I get it and I don't get it. And, but that, all that being said, he wasn't wrong for what he said. He said exactly what most of us were thinking. We're like, this is embarrassment. We can't believe that you guys did this. Like, we know better. Why did it end up this way? And so he really, honestly, to his credit, gave the voice that many of us were thinking.
I had a feeling you were going to answer that very thing. And see, here's another thing. I absolutely love the way that Tulsi Gabbard thinks, and I wish she was still serving in Congress, but she's not. But Tulsi Gabbard, yeah, every time she comes on, she talks about regime change. She's still a reservist. She still took the same oath to the Constitution to uphold and defend and protect against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And here we are, you know, facing a situation. She's talking about all we're doing is going over and supporting regime changes. Is that kind of the feeling from the guys that you served with? Do you think the same way she does?
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting. When she's actually serving in the Civil Affairs and Psychological Operations Command, which is where I spent my time, interestingly enough. And so she has a very firm grasp, especially having been a politician, and then just being very nuanced too. I respect her a lot, just because of the fact that you know, she was served as a politician and then still as a member of the military. But yeah, like it seems like that's what we've done, is like regime change after regime change. And effectively, you know, that leaves us wondering what are we doing? Because it's not like, okay, we defeated Hitler, and now you have and you look forward now in the future, and Germany is a very successful place. Same with Italy, and it's not that something better came out of it. It's like something worse appeared, and I think that's the difficult part that a lot of us wrestle with.
Now, you volunteered for another tour. I have a really hard time sinking my teeth into a lot of that after you've – I know you're laughing about it now, but I'm having a hard time sinking my teeth into this about why guys re-up. You know, I'm always like, holy smokes. I mean, you were in Special Ops Command, and, you know, you saw the killing fields, and it's like, wow, I can't believe this didn't affect these guys – in such a way that it would make it very tough to integrate back into civilian life if you were lucky to make it home.
Yeah.
What's your take?
My take is this. When I got home, it did mess me up from Afghanistan. I was like, I'm not going back overseas again. I lost my best friend, watched too many people die. But here's the problem with those of us in the military. Due to that intense camaraderie, you know, as kids, your parents will ask you this question. They go, if all your friends were jumping off a bridge, would you do it? And of course, the rhetorical answer is supposed to be no. But when it's all your buddies you fought in combat with, and they're like, hey, we're going to go into the abyss, you're like, okay, let's do it, buddy. And so that's literally what happened. My team sergeant from Afghanistan was like, hey, we're putting together this special team. You'll get your own four-man team. I've already worked it out with the first sergeant. I'm going. The rest of the dudes from Afghanistan are going. And at first I was like, no way, man. Like, And he was like, look, the wars aren't ending anytime soon. If you want to get stacked with a bunch of, you know, newbie turds who've never had seen combat and get yourself killed, then by all means. And so I was like, okay, I think I'll go. And so come to find out, we're going to Ramadi, which is from 2006 to 2007, accounted for half of all deaths that happened in the United States Marine Corps, and half of all deaths, or half of all attacks that happened that year in the country of Iraq.
And it was in Ramadi.
Correct.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. So now Regnery Publishing picked up the book. Was it hard to convince them, or did they come to you and say, hey, Benjamin, we want you to write a book?
I had to do some convincing. So I pitched them, you know, through my agent, and they read the synopsis and they were like, we want this book. So that was the really great part. And then when I finished writing it, what was great for me, and you know, a lot of early beta reviewers have just said the same thing. They're like, you've created something really special here that we haven't seen before. And it's a very fantastic but very difficult read. And so they've just been promoting the heck out of it now. So I'm really thankful for that, that it turned into something more, because the market was totally oversaturated. The joke in the publishing industry right now is if you're a Navy SEAL, you get a book deal. And that seems to be who dominated the market. But we just weren't having the regular, you know, guys who went there, came back, had to reintegrate, and then tell their story 10 years after the event, too.
Yeah, you generally in some support group, too, because they don't want to come out to the public and talk about the harsh horrors of the reality of war. And this is the sort of stuff that it sounds like you bring up in the book, which people need to really realize that if they want to read a boots on the ground kind of a scenario, I mean, this is the kind of book you get. So it's called Where Cowards Go to Die by Regnery Publishing, and it comes out July 5th. Where can people get copies of the book?
Anywhere major books are sold. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound. You can order it off basically anywhere. The major publisher is going to have a book.
Sounds like a winner. Benjamin Sledge, I know that the Bronze Star and Purple Heart, you were awarded those for your service and your valor, and we appreciate, again, your service and your honesty in putting this book together. And the release date, I mean, it couldn't have been better timed, right after the 4th of July. And we appreciate you coming on the Power Hour, and best of luck with the book, and best of luck in helping your fellow countrymen that served, many who gave their lives, those who managed to get back here to survive and reacclimate and get through life, even with all this garbage going on right now in the country, the way it is, just turned upside down. And people looking at veterans like you guys are some sort of nutcase, that these red flag laws were, I mean, that's pretty scary stuff. And they're looking at veterans, too. I can't even believe that they would target people who served their country, but they are. We appreciate your coming on the Power Hour. Folks, we're out of time for today. Dave Krieger with you. It's been fun this week. Got the 4th of July holiday coming up. We'll be playing this interview until Tuesday. In the meantime, have a safe and happy 4th. Remember what it's for. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Is bigger than the heavens and the lover of my soul. Creator God, He is Yahweh. Great I am, He is Yahweh. The Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Possessor of, He is Yahweh. Righteous Son, He is Yahweh. The three in one, He is Yahweh.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, New Mana Food Storage, to name just just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.